Hey folks, we are back and hopefully you're able to watch us on the live stream and you can see this section. So let us know if you've got any more questions inside of the Q&A. We'll try and answer those. But we're going to try and answer more questions right now that have been asked during the course of the Jumpstart. So we're going to answer some of those questions. And the first one that we've had come in, Michael, is from someone called Sharon, who's on the Q&A. And her question was, the question there is, we use MDT to build our images for deployment. Can you tell us when the next version of MDT that's going to support Windows 10 is going to be released?
Soon.
Yeah, that's our usual answer. But I think
It's the standard process where we release a new version of the operating system, and then all the deployment and management tools have to then quickly do a final round of testing and validation to make sure that everything still works.
Yeah.
So they're going through that right now, just a few remaining issues to work out. As soon as they get those worked out, it'll release. So certainly it will happen this month. The exact date we're not quite willing to lock down on yet because it's still a work in progress.
Yeah, but it's important that we get it right and we get the product out there that works the best. So hopefully you can forgive us for having to just make sure that we get all the bugs. The next question from Steve is, one of his only complaints so far with Windows 10 is the inability to block specific updates, maybe things like drivers, those kind of things, through Windows Update. So I guess we've explained that we're going to provide some of that functionality through Windows Update for Business. You're going to get some of that functionality through existing methods like WSUS, but there's also the ability to block specific updates using a specific tool that's been released under a KB article, which actually allows you to stop each individual update from applying to a machine, if that's what you want to be able to do. And that is particularly useful for drivers.
Yeah, primarily as a troubleshooting step, not as a general purpose tool to be used.
Yeah.
For those that are using WSUS and Config Manager, then you have full control over what updates are going out when. But when you are pointing to Windows Update directly, most updates will go out as required.
Perfect. I think it's Giles has asked a question. Are there any major changes from Windows 7 to Windows 10 from a user profile point of view that might be a gotcha around deployment and servicing?
That's a good question. I believe there's a new profile version introduced in Windows 8 and 8.1.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been using Windows 8.1 for so long
that I can't quite remember.
I haven't noticed that one, but yeah, we'll have to follow up with that one and see if we can find some more details. But
yeah, we'll make sure we get a link out for that one. Lots of folks asking when we're going to be releasing the RSAT, the Remote Server Administration Tools, for Windows 10, which is actually really an interesting thing about the RSAT tools. They're actually tied to the Windows Server releases, not to the Windows client releases. So when we get to the next technical preview of Windows Server, I think that's when we're expecting to see the RSAT tools.
Yeah, and if you've been following Gabe on Twitter, the answer has been soon.
Yeah.
As in very soon, like keep watching Twitter and hopefully it'll show up here shortly.
Yeah, it really shouldn't be long before that starts to appear. Then another question here around Configuration Manager. Can we manage Configuration Manager with System Center 2012 R2? The answer is yes. we explained that a little bit earlier on, that there's a need for a couple of updates to make that actually work. Right. You're going to need to apply, I think it's Cumulative Update 3, to have all of the functionality inside of ConfigMan.
CU1 for the new SP1.
Yes. Yeah,
It's interesting because they release service packs for 2012 and 2012 R2 at the same time. So it's R2 service pack 1 and 2012 service pack 2. And then they released a cumulative update for both at the same time, the CU1 on top of that. So that should be enough to get you Windows 10 support.
Next one then, from Bill. So we've got Windows 7 Pro machines that are connected to a domain and they haven't automatically received the notification for the free Windows 10 upgrade during
this time. That's a good thing, because that's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But there's a way around that, isn't there, with the Media Creator tool?
Yeah, the easiest way, if you want to take advantage of the free upgrade, to go from Windows 7 to Windows 10 Pro, leveraging the free upgrade, you can use the Media Creation tool. You download that, and then either tell it to upgrade the system directly, or tell it to download an ISO or create a USB key, and then use that media to upgrade multiple machines. In either case, it's going to do the upgrade, then grab a license from the Windows Store and activate that license over the internet. So it is required to have internet connectivity to do the license acquisition and activation, but you can use the offline downloaded media to do that.
Points of clarity from someone calling themselves CA on the chat was, does SXS, that's the folder inside of Windows, actually now replace recovery partitions on machines?
For all intents and purposes, yes. We talked about how there's a different reset process. There's no more recovery partition, no more recovery image. It's going to recreate the OS using the side-by-side SXS folder structure to do that. So that is the case. There would be a provisioning package that could be pre-installed on the system, typically by the OEM. That would be reapplied as part of the reset process. So you do get customizations back, just like you would have gotten from an OEM recovery image, but it's not a full image. It's just the delta between what is in Windows 10 and what was added by the OEM.
And I think that actually also covers a question that just was asked by Rita, which was around recovery and how do we, are there any new tools around recovery partitions and that kind of thing? Well, that kind of is it. That is the process. And it'll be something that's pretty useful and you can take advantage of.
Yeah, and the piece that we didn't touch on is if you as an organization wanted to create one of those provisioning packages yourself, because you want to embed that in your own custom image so that if a person does a reset, they get your stuff back, you can do that as well. The tool that's used to create the provisioning package is USMT. Mm-hmm. So you actually run ScanState against a fully configured system, telling it to create a provisioning package containing the apps and drivers from that system. It ends up creating a potentially fairly large provisioning package if you added a lot of apps to the image, but then anytime the machine is reset, that whole delta is reapplied on top.
And in terms of another deployment question that came in, we talked about MDT, we talked about Configuration Manager. We didn't actually mention WDS as part of the deployment strategy. It still works.
It does. So for those that are using WDS directly, you just need to import a new boot image. In order to deploy Windows 10, you need to use the Windows 10 version of Windows PE. So you take the Windows 10 version of Windows PE, import it into WDS, and off you go.
Yeah, that should be a pretty simple process to go through. Question from Sean, again, we did actually answer that, but just to give you the point of clarity on that, is there going to be a KMS update for Windows Server 2008 R2 in order to allow KMS activation using 2008 R2 for a Windows 10 machine?
Yes. He didn't ask when, so we can skip that part.
Yeah, we don't need to provide
that. The goal is October.
Yeah, okay.
It will be available, it's just not available yet. The update is available for Server 2012 and 2012 R2, as well as the client equivalents of Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. But if you wanted to use Windows 7 or 2008 R2, then you had to wait a little bit.
Yeah, I guess if you're really desperate, now is the time to start moving your KMS onto a more modern operating system as well. So probably a good plan. Samson has asked, will Windows 10 to go still remain an enterprise-only edition feature? Yes.
Yes, it is still an enterprise feature. So you need to have software assurance for Windows in order to run the enterprise SKU. The Windows to Go Creator is built into the enterprise SKU, and you get licensing rights to set up Windows to Go.
Yeah. Had a question here from someone, I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce the name, or the handle that's been used, but how long will current branch for business be supported for? As in, once you've deployed it on a current branch for business, how long do you get before you kind of need to move forward?
If you look at support overall, like the support for Windows 10 continues for the life of the device. I mean, you've seen that mentioned in all kinds of different contexts. It's just that the individual release has a finite life. Mm-hmm. So we released Windows 10 now. We'll release new upgrades 2 to 3 times a year. That's what we've talked about as having about a 12-month window.
Yeah.
4 months into consumer branch, and then another 8 months where you can do more of an incremental deployment inside your organization as part of current branch for business. After that, you then need to deploy the new upgrade in order to continue to get security updates, because those security updates will be dependent on the new upgrade.
Yeah, so it's going to be around about 12 months. And then question on, can you define the difference between update, upgrade, and also clarify the acronyms of CBB, CB, and LTSB? So that's kind of two separate questions. Let's do the difference between upgrade and update first.
Yeah, and it's a key thing to point out too, because upgrade, those are the 2 to 3 time a year feature adds. So we will take those through the insider process, then into current branch, then into current branch for business. So that's the cycle that we'll get into for upgrades 2 to 3 times a year. Updates are monthly. We come out with updates monthly that just include bug fixes, security fixes, reliability fixes, those types of standard update Tuesday type fixes. Mm-hmm. They'll be cumulative. We'll release them typically once we get into the full rhythm, once a month. And there's no real preview current branch for business process for those. They're released for all of them at the same time, mm-hmm. because you don't want to wait to receive those types of fixes, especially for security fixes. They'll go out to everyone at the same time. You still have control, since you have WSUS, over when you approve those to be deployed, but they will come out on that regular schedule. So upgrades, 2 to 3 times a year, adding new functionality. Updates, typically once a month. They'll be cumulative. We'll continue to release those for all the different branches.
Cool. And in terms of the acronyms, CB, CBB, and LTSB, what are they and how do they just briefly differ between each other?
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about that as being kind of a timeline, that first you have insider builds. They then become CB, current branch, after we've released them, after we've decided they're ready for widespread deployment. And then after a longer period of time, typically deferred another 4 months, mm-hmm. it then becomes current branch for business, where it's been validated for business scenarios so that organizations can do broad deployments. So you had to think about them as being the same Windows bits, but at different points in time. Insiders are before it's officially released, current branch after it's been released, current branch for business after another 4 months or so. Now it's ready for business use.
Cool. Okay. Hopefully that's clarified a whole load of the questions that we've had come in. I know there's been some more as we've just been talking there, but it takes us a few seconds for everything to kind of come through the chat as we run. And we've actually kind of come to the point where we need to call things a day for the end of the session. So just want to thank you all very much for coming along. Sorry about the technical problems that we had there with the stream. Unfortunately, there was nothing that we could do about it, and it honestly has affected us quite a lot. We now have to sit here and just go back through the process of re-recording the final module so that all of the content that you can watch on demand becomes completely seamless and it actually comes through and is the kind of usual quality that you can expect from Microsoft Virtual Academy. Thank you very much for joining us. Don't forget to fill out the poll and give us feedback on what you thought of the session, whether you thought the information was useful. And don't forget to join Windows Insiders so that you get to see what's happening inside of Windows before anybody else gets to see those bits.